cliffcentral.com.
So that was AB Crazy. And it's nice to see the guy still around, man. I think it's been a bit too long, but you know what I'm saying. All I can say is that I think music, anything creative in the South African industry is tough, man. And I think as myself, I think I'm just going to stick around right over here because this is the Urban Culture Drive and you're still tuned in too.
This is cliffcentral.com.
And with that being said, I think today is show 8, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. It's somewhere on my script over there. And I find it a little bit worrisome that we've only gone through about 2 months of the year. And I'm already feeling somewhat exhausted or somewhat out of it. And I don't know whether it's just me or my lifestyle. But Candace, how do you feel?
I'm burnt out, guys.
Are you done?
I'm burnt out. How many days are we in?
I don't know. Like it's
58, 57 days in to 2018. Yeah. And geshap, wohe.
Like it's February, and I'm. I don't know. I don't
Can
know
we
whether.
Log out?
I think it's because January was like so super long.
It was 7 years long. Yeah.
Literally, and then you have February, which is like the month of love, so it has nothing to do with men, and pretty much just depletes your bank account. And then you get back to work, you know, that exact same time. And then obviously there's black tax and your little cousins are going to varsity and things are happening. And I don't know.
Cabinet reshuffles going on. It's just a lot.
It's lit. And I mean, because we know who's listening where. So for all the guys listening from Nigeria and Japan particularly, and you don't know what's going on in South Africa. Hey, chief, politics. I think politics is like the new thing. I think politics is like the new cool. Craig or sexy?
Yeah, no, I'm all right, guys. I think the year is slowly sinking in. I'm actually enjoying myself, but that's not the point of the matter. I feel like we have awesome guests today, and what we're actually speaking about today is all about the entertainment, the blitz, the glamour, and everything that has to do with entertainment. So I'm quite curious about today, actually.
I don't know, but that's a pretty broad, straight statement, right? Because, I mean, in South Africa, what's entertainment? I thought entertainment was politics.
Absolutely not, fam.
Yeah?
Entertainment is anything these days. I could be an entertainer right now. Yeah. Craig O'Six is an entertainment.
No, Craig O'Six is an entertainer, especially like when, I don't know, if you guys don't know what we're talking about, just go to Instagram and look up Craig O'Six.
Enjoy, by the way.
and enjoy. But I mean, with that being said, right? So I mean, on this show, usually we'll play a lot of clips where there's things happening in the State of the Nation's address, whether things happening in all things music, whether things happening in all things corporate. So I'm going to start off the show the usual way, right? With a clip. And I want to play this clip, and I want you guys to let me know what you think about it. And then we'll pretty much dig in from there. Is that cool?
Very curious.
All right, so let me try and get my ducks together. So let me drop the bed music, let me kick up the aux, and you guys tell me what you think of this.
Joburg, let my people go. I have come for my father's prodigal sons, the silent ones drowning in your moon-shedded trance. My people have become slaves of your dreams and feast from the promise of wealth in sweat. Yet in sunsets my father's daughters lie with men they've never met. Joburg, let my people go. You have become your own foe. Let not my people reap from what you sow. What I saw makes God and eyes saw. Sisters with bellies, brothers pushing trolleys. And when the gates of sight open to stolen light at the brink of a full moon, we know what cow this night shall birth in the womb of darkness. Children of the night playing hide and seek with the sun, waiting for late afternoon without the moon. Soon such deeds shall not be spoken of. Your rule has no role, deeming futures black as coal. Joe Hasselberg, They call you to snatch another soul. Meanwhile, Joe hassles bags trying to salvage the dreams you stole. What is a man without dreams? On him the sun will not shine, so he walks without shadows, chasing colorless rainbows. There shall be no love like Cupid shooting pointless arrows, and this man will be filled by the pride he swallows. The gutters remain a home for those that begin with no dreams to see their ends, and the clouds will not dare cry for the unseen. Joburg, let my people go. The millions that make you billions are shackled in shacks. I have come to return the human in blacks. They continue to feed the mouth that buys them and lament fragments of the truth that secludes them. That short journey that reminds them. It's a fine line between Alex and Sentin, just across Grayston, where concrete roads know their footprints. My people find themselves lost in time. Fired for being late of late, my father's daughters speak African time as their periods come late. Nations in her belly declared late. We mourn the unnamed. Children growing in your streets remain unclaimed. Millions die in your hands as denial feeds your conscience. But in your name we still pledge our allegiance. For you have promised us wealth in sweat. But I regret to inform you that we're still drowning in debt, while our leaders and their pockets grow fat. Now stomach that. Get your children with guns and their eyes drawn to your false glow, and you still refuse to let my people go. Joe Hasselberg. The land of jazz and pizzazz. So fire town funky fashion, ready to teach those without class. Cellos and saxophones singing in baritones, semitones, laced along your targets. You call upon my people to be your own. Joburg, we love to love you. But how do I love love that loves me not? I have come for my father's prodigal sons, the silent ones drowning in your moon-shaded trance. They will no longer make bricks for straw. I speak my father's law. Let my people go, or deliver your promises.
So that's one way of kicking off a show, right?
Sure, yeah.
Let me keep quiet. What did you pick up from that, Candace?
The intensity of coming to the city. Pressures.
Can I tell a story?
Settling sometimes. Coming here with big dreams. Because they and tell then, you, they sell you a dream.
And then realizing that it's
and
not
then
so
you get
easy.
You and you're like, shucks. It's actually litter, chat. It's actually a problem.
So, you know, so I was in Cape Town, what, like about a week ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I love Cape Town. Cape Town's a beautiful place, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But when I hear this, I can never put my finger on it. Cape Town, if you compare Cape Town to Joburg, asset for asset, right? It's most likely better to live in Cape Town than it is to live in Joburg. But there's something about Joburg that keeps me here. There's something about Joburg that I love. And it's 100% right when I hear the clip that we played here, that you can love Joburg as much as you like. It doesn't mean that he loves you, it always loves you back.
Hmm.
Craig, what'd you get from it?
I think, you know, it's quite interesting that, you know, we're all here in Joburg and we're different. Oh, sorry. I've got, okay, I just dropped my phone. Okay.
Cell phones off the table. Do you want to grab that? Do you want to pick that up?
Anyway, I think that, you know, it's quite interesting that Joburg has a lot of people with different energies, and when we all come together, we just make it seem like it's, you know, the city that has a lot to offer because of the different kinds of energy. And I feel like South Africa, specifically, actually, let me just say Africa has a lot of life. And that is actually shown in a place like Joburg, in a place like Maboneng, where you feel like the top of the bottom is just, you know, it's just out there. It's a big wide space for adventure, or for, you know, it's a place where you can express yourself and actually feel whatever you want to feel. You can do whatever you want to do. And that is what I love about this place, because the energy and the life that it actually possesses. So I resonate quite well with that poem. It's just that it might not love you back.
So if you guys don't know who that was, so I played that straight off my cell phone. And I mean, that's this comes from someone you'd expect to have studied dramatical art or something of the like. But no, not in Joburg, because that's not how we roll. So that was a poem by KB_Killer, but I think you can find him there on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook. And it's someone that I've known for quite a while. And I mean, in every single show I've been at, every single show I've hosted, I've always made sure that we need to have guys who can tell you exactly what it is about to be in the entertainment industry at this time in this generation, when it all looks like glitz and glamour, no one quite understands the amount of work that you need to put in it for it to manifest. I mean, just slightly. KB, what's going on?
Hey, I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm 100%. So tell me, right, when you wrote this poem, right, about Joburg, about the concrete jungle, about the richest square mile in Africa, and what it actually means to be here and try to crack it in this space, what was the one message that you were trying to portray the most?
A few seconds of my experience first, especially with this poem.
Yeah.
I was a hungry artist, like everyone else that starts with you know, their career in music or whatever. In poetry, I only got stage in Joburg, right? But then I was still like first year in varsity. Actually, I was in matric, and I had to catch 3 taxis to get here. Hammanskraal to Pretoria, Pretoria to Joburg, you know. And then I was walking down Bree Street.
Yeah.
And I think this poem just lit up from there. You know, everything you see there. You see guys, you see women, you know, with bellies, brothers pushing trolleys. You know, you see people sleeping in the streets, you know. But on the other hand as well, where I was going, I knew that that's where my dreams are going to manifest. You know, that's where my dreams are going to come true. You know, and I've gotten my career from Joburg itself, you know. I've gotten my career pumped up from Joburg itself. Mm. So, yeah. What was your question again?
It's all good, man. I can really see, like, your mind going there. Like, I got to make a poem out of this.
It's giving poetry. And I realized, Les, you have this nepotism of always having people that are associated with tax. You know what I mean? Like, the entire crew is from Tux.
Yeah.
Our poet KB is from... I don't understand.
For those of you that don't know what Tux is, the University of Pretoria, which in my opinion is actually... It's an okay university, but it has a knack of just grooming some of the finest talents that I think this country's ever seen.
Hala.
I am biased, you know what? This is the thing though, Craig, right? When you come here, you gotta know people that know people.
Yes.
Right? Mm. So I'm happy being biased and like putting niggas on, right? Mm. Because unlike some people, like producer Job at the back, right? You know, producer Job has very talented siblings that he puts on, you know? So with him and his nepotism, he's just like, yo, listen, this is the guest you're gonna have.
He's about to perform a poem now. You see, he's just in that mode.
And that brings me on to our second guest, right? So I don't know how, should we just call you Mello? Is Mello short for something?
Mello, so my full name is Buitumelo.
Buitumelo, yes.
So I go by the stage name Mello B. Jones.
Mello B. Jones.
So
Mello B. Jones, Mello B. Jones, how was it having the pleasure of nepotism on your side? When you can pick up a phone call and be like, yo cuz, listen now.
It's nice, huh? What's family for otherwise?
What's family for? So Mello B, I mean, you're in the entertainment industry as well, right?
Yeah.
Your stage name is Mello B. Jones.
Yep.
Where does that come from?
So Mello is obviously derived from my full name, which is Buitumelo.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also sort of imitates the sort of sound that I make. So it's a mellow tone, some mellow vibes, you know?
Yeah.
B is just my initial. And then Jones means a fixation or an addiction to something. Mm. And I just like the way it rounded up the name as well. Yeah. So
we're going to see if that's true, because we have one of your clips here and we'll pretty much dissect it and see if it is what it is.
I'm ready.
Keeping up with the Joneses. Keeping up with the Joneses.
So listen, I mean, we're going to do a bit of storytelling over here, and I really want to get into your guys' history, right?
Okay.
Particularly in this field. So, I mean, we know with KB, I mean, KB was, he was young, was ambitious, came to Joburg. That was his first experience with Joburg. Besides that, you were studying, et cetera, et cetera. But with you, Mello B. Jones, what has been your experience with the concrete jungle?
Okay, so I grew up in Joburg, so I guess it's Joburg's one of those places, man. Like, if you let it take you, it will. It's one of those, you know. I think, you know, you just have to sort of be level-minded. But I do get that it's a lot faster paced than a lot of other areas, because I went to varsity in Cape Town, and you know, that's really actually where a lot of my artistic developments happened, you know, because I was given the space to like be around different people, different like cultures, sort of like hip-hop underground cultures, and it was a lot slower and a lot like calmer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really gave me the space to grow as I as I have as an artist. I really do.
So tell me something. Did you study to become an artist, or is it something like, you know, if you're just like as kick-ass talented as KB, you don't have to read the book. He just wakes up and starts rhyming.
Actually, I studied marketing and economics at UCT. So
yes. You see what I mean? Why is it always like that? So with a lot of, especially in South Africa, I don't know what it is, but there's what you study and there's what you're passionate about. Why is it that these two things never overlap?
Because life is real, yo. That's why. Mm-hmm. Like, real talk. I just wanted to be in a space where I could pursue my dreams, but also just have something solid to fall back on, you know? And as cliche as that may sound, it really helps just in terms of just being stable as an adult, you know? Because it's all great to be all like 10 rand in a dream, mm-hmm. kind of, but not all of us are built that way, exactly. You know? And that's just me. I really like knowing that if anything happens, I can always fall back on something.
So let me ask a question, right? Because what you're saying is 100% valid. I mean, we've got black tax, you know, we have family members to take care of. If you know, producer job, you know, becomes broke, he's gonna come knock on your door, hopefully not mine. But I want to ask Craig and Candace, let me start with Craig for once. Craig, I mean, you studied accounting, right?
Yeah, I studied accounting.
So tell me, is would you say your passion and what you studied overlap, or are they two separate things?
Absolutely two separate things. But however, because God is God and the universe, I went on to study till my master's and now trying to get branched into the PhD. Hey, y'all. But I was passionate about teaching. So what I decided to do was to actually avoid being a lesejo and going to a corporate bank, avoid doing the whole equity and marketing, and decide that, you know what, I'm actually going to a traditional university and I'm going to give back. And every day when I wake up, I'm not passionate about crunching numbers, but I am passionate about transferring knowledge, transferring skills, and that's what keeps me alive and that's what wakes me up every day.
So at a point, I guess, and you're right, at a point, because you're one of the lucky ones, I'm guessing, your passion and what you studied did overlap.
They overlapped.
That's a beautiful thing. Candace?
At no point did the two things that my passion and what I studied overlap. And like you said, Melo, it's about, like, our economy doesn't allow for us to be big dreamers and just be like, you know what, shop. I'm just going to chase my dream and we'll figure it out. No, guys, we need real jobs. We need money. We need to pay rent. We need security. And as much as you want to chase your dream, you also need to be smart about it. So we can't just be like, bam, shop. I'm going to be a rapper.
So what is your dream then?
I want to be in entertainment. I want to be in television ultimately. And I tried, like, back in varsity while studying, I also tried to, like, you know, hook up all of these acting gigs and stuff. But nothing's really taken off. They don't like me, guys. Please plug me, Lesejo. You're welcome.
We'll put you on.
Put me on, Les.
So, in that case, and I mean, yeah, you know what? It is, with the economy the way it is now and the history in which we come from, we understand that we are where we are, okay? And there's nothing we can do about the economy, but there's something that we can do about where we are and what we're going to do with our careers, right? Mm-hmm. So in that case, then, KB, I'm going to start with you. So, I mean, professionally, you're a civil engineer.
Yes.
At what point, just in the same way that Craig's passion and career overlapped, at what point do you think that would be the same for you?
They won't at all. I mean, poetry and civil engineering are two different things.
So do you see... But... Is the poetry like an outlet, basically?
It is an outlet. I will say that I build words into poems. Yeah. That's as much as I can say. But for me, they don't overlap at all. Each has their own lane that they play, and they each have their own role that they play. As Craig has said, you know, with poetry, it's an outlet. That's how I actually feel at peace. That's how I feel, you know, that I'm alive, you know. And with civil engineering, I love the career, I won't lie, you know, but it is a survival tactic as well, you know, coming from where I come from, you know, it was something that I needed to do to get myself, you know, stable. But I will say as well that the civil engineering is paying for everything that I do in poetry. You know, and which is something that I wanted to do for myself, where I don't have to rely on anyone else to do what I want. You know, take Dr. Dumi for instance, you know, he's a doctor and he pushed his own music career to where it is,
this
you know.
Is true.
So that's how I that's how they overlap for me, actually. The civil engineering, the career, mm-hmm. it's actually pushing my passion. And actually, even on my CV, I wrote on my profile, the first line is poet by passion, engineer by profession. And it's gotten me a couple of jobs.
I won't lie. I think that, you know, to some, they actually overlap to a larger degree, because I see Les, the way he works. Les is a systems, whatever engineer. I don't know but engineering. And you see how they structure their work, the way they structure their words, their work ethic is quite strong. So I think it specifically comes out in that. I mean, the way that you did that poem was clearly from somebody who thought about it quite structurally. It wasn't just throwing up stanzas, you know. So I do think that, you know, it actually overlaps more than you think. It's just that it comes out in a different element, which is poetry.
You're saying it's indirect.
It's indirect, and absolutely, fam.
Because if you take the mannerisms of someone that studied something compared to someone else, they are quite different. All right, so we're gonna do this, right? So I promise everyone that we're gonna play something from Melody B. Jones, and we're going to interrogate and see if one, do we even like it? And we're going to decide, listen,
come on.
Maybe your passion and what you said shouldn't overlap. We don't know, but we might just find out. And then straight after that, we've got a third guy. So, I mean, we're going squat deep today. You're going to share a mic with me. And I want to introduce him to him, because I think what's unique about today is that we have three different artists from three different genres. I want to see what they have in common, what comes together, and what breaks them apart. Is that cool?
Awesome.
All right, let me do this. Give me a second, right there, Gen 2.
Oh no. It's late for me, mood shifted by some. What's good? You ain't my main, but I really feel that itch. But now, I'ma be good. Put the bottle on ice, plus I ain't in my hood.
So I think what I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna call that a bit of a sample. You know, I will listen to this. The very first thing that Craig was sexy said, he's like, nah, I like this. This is like, this is what I can get high to on a Sunday. And I was like, you know, you might have a point about that.
Absolutely. There's something quite strong and deep about it without it being too overwhelming. It sort of reminds me of the American star Alina Baraz. If you guys don't know her, she's absolutely flawless with a flattering voice. Mm. Very nice. Very exquisite girl.
KB, what do you think of that track? And no need to be nice just because she's sitting next to you.
Yeah.
She has nepotism on her side. It's cool.
Yeah, no. Miss Beres kills it, but she's killing it even more. This is amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really, really awesome.
You know what impressed me, actually? I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. Melo, I did not expect what I heard.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the quality of the song is really dope.
Mm. Thank you.
I did not expect to hear... that, and maybe that's just me being biased, but who cares what I think.
And can I also say, when I heard your song for the first time, because Joe played it to me, I thought it was an international artist, so I'm like, really? who's this Han? And he's like, no, it's my cousin. I'm like, no. Are you serious? It's so well produced. I love it. I think it's awesome.
You.
And you can have like really great sex to the song.
Okay,
levels.
So thank you.
thank you.
So break it down for us, right? So what was the inspiration behind this song particularly?
This song is actually a real life story. So I was in a bit of a situationship, as we get into sometimes. It was one of those, like, trying to be cool about it, you know, but you can also kind of feel that you're sort of really feeling this person.
Mm.
So I guess that's where the metaphor of, like, champagne and love song. So champagne is, like, the frivolous, the partying, you know, but, like, love songs is, like, getting into it kind of thing. And, yeah, the song just sort of documentary style takes you through that whole thing.
Listen, if you ever bump into that guy again, just, like, you know, hit job with a young, please call me there. And then, you know, we'll all come running down. What's nepotism for? So with that being said, right? So KB went through your poem, right?
Yeah.
And that was dope. And then we went through Melody B. Melody B, what type of artist would you classify yourself as?
I'm a boom bap soul artist.
I don't even
know.
So, basically, that's a new genre. Tell us about it.
A word. So boom bap is, I don't know if you know, but it's a lot of like drum based, you know, like 90s hip hop sort of... that sort of loop-based sampling, but then using soul elements and like R&B and jazz. So it's all.
Tell me if I'm right or wrong, but you know I'm not that musically inclined like a Craig would be. But when I listen to this, it reminds me a lot of your Janae Yeko's.
Right. Thanks.
So am I right by saying that?
Yeah.
Oh, thank goodness. Yeah, I thought we were on something like, let's all shut up. Like, ignorant,
no,
like,
definitely.
Not knowing.
I take a lot of influence from a lot of places, you know. But actually, surprisingly, one of my biggest influences is hip-hop. And if you listen to sort of my catalog of music, you can actually hear it quite strongly. So, yeah.
So with that being said, right, it's funny because, I mean, I think 10 years ago, everything was all about house and Guaido and that type of thing.
Yeah.
But when you're talking music nowadays, you can't mention music without, like, involving hip-hop in it.
Right.
And we can't deny the amount of impact that hip-hop has had in the culture. So that goes on to my third guest for today. And if anyone, you know, ever questions how hard you hustle, you know, for this music thing, just let them know about this interview, because you were like quite a bit late, because you know you were catching buses and stuff. Like, I mean, it's rough in these streets, fam. Gotta be catching buses. So we got T-Bitter King. How are you, fam?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm 100%. What type of artist would you classify yourself as?
Oh, dog. I'm a backpack rapper.
Yeah.
I think in one simple word, that's how I put myself out there. I'm a backpack rapper. Very versatile.
Backpack rapper from where?
Pretoria.
From Pretoria?
Yeah.
All right, no, rapping. Okay. Clearly, there is bias. You're right, Craig.
UP,
you know what I mean?
University of Pretoria, there is a huge bias.
I'm Whose cousin gonna... are you? Whose cousin are you?
I got the plug, you know?
Whose cousin are you, cuz?
All right, so, like, guys, I want this to be very in-depth, and I want it to be brutally honest, and I want it to be what it is, man. There are a lot of... I think this is a generation where, now more than ever... In South Africa, in Africa, we've realized that what we dream about and what we pursue really can come to pass, right? But the one thing that nobody ever tells you about is, on a very serious note, is, you know, we say open up the industry, but to be honest, there's only a few people that hold down that space, you know, and they're not willing to let it go. The fact that the politics are really ugly. The fact that no matter how dope of a backpack rapper you are, if you don't come from a certain type of household where, you know, mommy and daddy can fund your dreams, it's pretty much 10 times harder than the next person.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that no matter how good your music is, no matter how brilliant your verses are, no matter how beautiful your voice is, if you don't have, you know, the certain type of funds or connections, you're never going to get played on any radio platform. Your music video will never be seen on MTV base. So I'm going to go through everybody one by one. And I mean, as soon as I said that, I could see KB just fixing his mic. He's like, no, listen.
He's ready.
No.
What is probably like the toughest thing about this industry that, you know, you'd wish somebody had told you at least about 10 years ago?
Yo. Let's start with the backpacker.
You want to start with the backpacker? He is new. All right, let's give you an induction, fam.
Yeah.
For one, I think the sharing of knowledge, it's not really easy. In terms of when you start out, you know, when you start out, you have this dream, you have everything going on, like you want to be that artist and everything. But when you start, like, reaching for the platforms, you start to find out that, you know what, it's not really easy to get those type of plugins because of lack of knowledge. And the knowledge to get that knowledge from certain places is very hard. Not everybody is, like, you know, willing to share that knowledge, you know. So, I mean, you get guys where I'm from Pretoria, right? So I get guys where they don't even really know that you have to register as an artist and to get certain plugins, you know. Being on radio stations, you get paid for certain things, you know. So a lot of artists out there are still really in the third world in terms of the industry. So
you know, what pisses me off about rappers, and I'm sorry, like, I'm gonna pick on you. Like, rappers will, like, listen to, like, a Lil Wayne or Drake track and, like, get all hyped up and then think they dope.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you haven't even put in that much time. Like, just calm down. It's fine, you're hype, but you're really not the best.
True, dog. Like, I mean, for me, like, I've been in this industry, like, for 10 years. I can safely say 10 years working on this.
Yeah.
And you get guys where, like, you know, they just start on from tomorrow. They hear a track and they feel like, okay, look, I've got the grounds. I could start working with you. And you find out Mello B. Jones has been putting work for, like, you know, that amount of time. She made her brand be recognized from certain point to certain point. And you just find that guys out here, like, they're like, okay, look, I feel like I could rap now, so I'm going to start with this. So it's a progress. It's a step type of thing, you know. So I don't think a lot of artists really recognize the steps into being in the
industry. Don't recognize the levels.
Yeah.
You know what I find interesting about that is that actually there's interesting information over the internet which I discovered when I was like researching this topic. You know that each and every 4 or 5 years, a big corporation such as PwC release what we call South African Entertainment and Media Outlook, which is a brilliant platform. Because what that does, it shows you different kinds of entertainment from TV, music, radio, internet, film, everything. And they break it down to you on how the media is changing, how it's grown, and how that buzz can actually help you as someone who's tapping into the industry. How you actually balance it out. It's actually quite brilliant.
True, dog. Like, if you even get seminars and expos on these type of situations where even Summer is going through the lengths to actually educate artists about this. So I think it's all about an artist. Like, if you really, really love what you're doing and passionate, there is a certain form of education, and you have to really like research, find out the steps. In terms of knowing who to talk to. I mean, like knowing to talk to Job, for instance. I mean,
he's got the plug.
So that's very important. I mean, if without those certain steps, you won't really know where to go and where to start.
All right, let me ask you this question. So obviously you're from Pretoria. Yeah. What are you studying?
I studied information technology. So
interesting. So even then, two very separate things. Melo B.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a young, dynamic female in a very male-dominated patriarchal society with a beautiful voice trying to pretty much make your way through this thing.
Yeah.
What's the toughest thing that you've ever encountered?
Sure.
On your journey thus far?
Especially going on the topic of like the patriarchal way in which things work. I think the toughest thing for me definitely has to be, you don't know, you know, you get a lot of promoters hitting you up and like promising you things, and then those same promoters call you at like 3 a.m. and they're like, yo, where you at? And like, no, it's something that like, it's really unfortunate because it almost makes you forget how talented you are, you know, or how hard you work for these things. And it's really tough because you really want to be neutral about these things. But yeah, so I think that's definitely one of the toughest things for
Long story short, men are trash.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep.
KB, we're back to you, fam.
Yeah. Now that I've thought about it, in my experience, is exploitation. And the promise, again, Joburg, let my people go. You've promised me gold. You know, the promise of that lavish life that you see in music videos is what we think is out there for real. And it's not. And for some of us that have seen these music videos behind the scenes, we know that it's not. You know, it's a curtain, it's umbrellas, and it's lighting. It's all camera action. You know, but what happens behind the scenes, and that's where we are. You know, we are pushing. You know, and we're promised stage. We're promised, and for sense or either sense or just, I will give you exposure.
Mm.
And it's so funny that even now, it's still like that, where guys will tell you, no, it's for exposure. And as an artist, as someone who actually sits and with their craft and trying to push something, you know, to just be promised exposure and you know, all these dreams, it's not on, you know. So that's the struggle that I've had personally as a poet, you know. Luckily, and maybe perhaps for both of us, or yeah, for the three of us here, is that when that happens, we just run back to our careers.
That I can absolutely resonate with. You know, I've had a few interesting gigs myself where I was like a brand influencer or a model or something in the entertainment industry, and yeah, fam, the money was just very slow. It wasn't happening for me. I mean, with regards to accounting, you sit with a client and they want you to solve their taxes. You make an easy 5 to 10 grand. Just one person. You know, so I do get the fact that, you know, every now and again, you just have to just run back because it really is tough.
You know what it is, Craig? I'm glad that you said that, right? I have a view that there's this whole media boom thing. Most likely because it's been propagated by social media and all these things that are happening around that space. But the idea that I want to be an entertainment or an artist because I want to make money, I think is fundamentally flawed. True. And I keep telling people, I'm like, listen, you say you want to be in this thing because you want to make money, but to be honest, I know banking executives that make like over 5 million a month.
Banking interns that make more than
artists,
than really big artists.
And I think it's one of, but I mean, I think it's one of those things, because also I think media, and especially now, because you know hip hop has boomed so much, there's a lot of ego around it. There's a lot of fronting right now.
Instagram is not helping, you know.
Everybody's
it's not. Yeah, it's not. It actually creates a perception that these people don't have at
true.
All.
Yeah. True.
And so everybody's hiding behind that veil, you know, all those filters. They're hiding behind that thing. And because of that, you know, now you're sucking in more and more young people. And once they're in it and it's already too late, that's when, you know, they start to realize that, damn,
it's not like that.
I thought, you know, I wish somebody would have taught me better. So with that being said, I mean, in the beginning, we spoke to everyone, right? And we spoke to Candace, and we said, okay, Candace. So Candace now has these two separate careers, right? And she wants to get into media. So Candace, I want to get into a mic, and you tell me, with everything that you've heard right now, right? Yeah. For the mere fact that, I mean, Melo is telling you that some of these big artists are getting paid less than interns.
Yeah.
Would you say that you still want to get into media?
Yeah. well, let me tell you something. I get you're going to be strategic about it. I'm not just going to be like, Shap, quit my job. Cool. I'm chasing this dream. I'm living on a prayer. No, you have to have a strategy behind it. You need to sign with the right people. You need to be secured in that. And that's how you chase. And also, I ain't trying to be small time. Just say it.
Hello. Hey,
hello, Hollywood. It's me.
All right, cool. Listen. No. So I hear that.
But I understand the whole arguments about the money thing. Like, why are you chasing this thing? And why is your core motivation money? We all know, vele, like, the industry is tough to get into. For starters, it's a mission to get into. And then wanting money on top of it. I think when you do get into it, it needs to be passion driven. Mm-hmm. Like, guys, this needs to be something you eat, breathe, sleep. It can't be a hobby. It can't be I can rap a few bars. Let me see where it goes. You can't be a SoundCloud rapper. You can't be, like, guys, you need to be super focused. And if you're going to do this, do it right. Period. And with that said, you're going to say that, right, Les? You were going to say that, right, Les?
KB, do you want to say something?
Yeah, I also think that you have to be extra special.
Exactly. X Factor, right?
X Factor with a lot of hard work as well in there. Full stop.
For me, I think, you know, with anything that you do, I keep telling people, you know, you can make a lot of money. You can be very successful in anything that you do. Because I bet you now, even if you want to become a school teacher, I bet you now that if you're a school teacher at Michael House, which is the most expensive school in South Africa, I can bet you you're earning more than most people in general, full stop. And my thing is that I almost feel like, you know, because there's all this glitz and glam around being an artist, I think people attracted for the wrong reasons. And I do think that the guys that do rise to the top are the ones, like you say, KB, that do have the X Factor. And that do work flipping hard. I know some DJs that pull crazy hours perfecting their craft. Youngster CBT had 27 mixtapes.
True.
Before we even knew who he was. 27 mixtapes.
True.
How much music is that?
A lot.
I think people don't have the appreciation for the amount of hours that people put into their craft in order for it to be what it is. So, you know, with that being said, you know, I'm going to cut into a track real quick, and it's going to be another sample, and they want to cut directly back into Candace and Craig and pretty much do our weekly feature. But with that being said, I want you guys to let me know, everyone in the studio, what you think of this next track. And I don't know, we'll see whether some people need to rap or they need to go back to IT.
My life on the go, young nigga on the road, always on hustling mode. I once was told to always live by the G code. You got nothing to lose if you broke, always on the road. Me.
So apparently it's just a regular day. I don't know, is it a regular day, T-Bird the King?
It's a regular day now, dog. Like, we hustling, dog.
You know, I'm actually listening to this track. I like it. It's sick. I think the production on it is really good. But I don't know, it reminds me of a certain rapper. What do you think of A. Reese?
I think he's good.
Yeah.
Judging and from the fact that he's from the same city, like, I mean, I'm rapping him always, dog. Like, he's from Pretoria, so hey.
I 100%.
Yeah.
Melo, what do you think of the track?
I think it's dope. I really like the bass line. Actually, that was my favorite thing. Yeah, no.
So it wasn't
dope.
The rhymes, was the bass line? No, I'm just asking.
I'm saying in this particular track, that's what stood out most for me.
All right, cool. You're going to take that criticism?
Yeah, I can take
it. All right, nice. KB?
I'm actually more into lyricism. So, yeah, man. Those are tight. Lyricism.
Lyricism, fam.
Poetry.
Huh?
Yeah, man. Yeah, so, yeah. That
new
was beautiful,
things.
Bro.
You got new things to teach your students now.
You know what I mean? No. But, guys, you know, I just want to quickly ask our guest a few questions. Now, guys, you just need to quickly answer yes, no, something very quickly. It's not an essay or anything like
and,
that.
And you know, I think, Craig and I decided they want to do this every single week, right? Because
yeah.
We did it one week and we called one guest out. We said, you know what? We're going to roll it out for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So take it home, boy.
You know what I mean? So the first thing I want to ask you guys is very quickly, what actually is your biggest fear other than the fact that you might fail as an artist? KB, come on.
Not being heard.
All right.
Being broke.
Melby?
Dying before my time.
Yeah, these are deep, eh? But not being heard. I heard that. All right. So tell me, do you guys have like best friends and stuff, or are the people that you're dating your besties?
I got best friends.
I've got my ninjas.
Yeah. And Melby?
Best friend, boyfriend, same person.
Hopefully not the one that you wrote the song about, though.
No.
Not strawberries and champagne, eh?
No.
Okay. Have you ever had a crush on a friend? Even while you're in a relationship?
Yes.
Of course, the men. Men are trash.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I take that back. We're all hoes.
No.
Seriously, KB.
Seriously.
What's wrong with you, bro?
What do you mean?
So you've never, while you were dating, just knew someone that was a flame that you thought, you know what? That just
no, they were flames, but I didn't have crushes
don't
on
lie.
Them. I'm not lying.
I can't lie.
Yo, Candace at the back. Candace is awesome.
I can't lie.
Don't grill me, Candace. I'm just saying, though. Oh, it's like quick.
Can
right.
Yes, I ask no. one question real quick?
Okay,
cocaine or weed?
Weed.
I'm joking. Don't answer that. Sorry, guys. One last question. I don't know if you asked it. Sorry, I just got in. What's the one thing you've done that you'll never do again? Did you ask that?
No, of course not.
What's the one thing you've done in your life that you'll never ever try again because you saw flames, Chief? Take your time with this one.
Weed.
Please don't tell us boring things here. Okay? Okay, weed. Okay? That you'll... Why? Why don't you want to try it again?
Yo. Yeah, it was in Swaziland, eh?
Swaziland. So you got all the good shit. Like, okay. Say no more, boo.
Yeah, thank you.
Getting lit before I arrive at an event, I think.
That you're supposed
like,
to perform. That you're supposed to perform.
Do you see my problem time. With that?
No.
Do you see my problem?
So, let me explain. Like, I got to explain this. Like, before, I wasn't performing. I wasn't even into rap at that time. Mm-hmm. So, I got hurt because of that. And from that, it just changed the whole dynamic. Actually, that accident helped me get into rap. So,
okay.
Yeah. So I just got lit there for some certain reason, you know, bad influence and all that. But yeah, that's changed. So we can move forward.
What is the worst thing about dating that you don't like? Like when it comes to, I'm a relationship, man. Guys, what is the thing that you do not like?
I don't like Valentine's Day.
Yeah, we all know that, Lisejo. That's why I got that thing. But anyway.
Ish, applying for visa, bruh.
Okay, hopefully.
What? This is
visa to go
okay,
out.
Okay, yes.
Yes.
Yes. And you, Miss Melo?
That's a good question.
Okay, wait, let me ask like this, guys. What's the worst thing about dating you guys? Let's flip the script.
Okay.
And be honest, Shane.
Yeah.
Okay, I know.
Okay.
You're a rapper.
Yeah, well... Don't use that against me, man. Like, well, because you're always hustling for yourself... You tend to be really, really busy. Mm. So people don't really get that at times, you know. You can't really avail yourself because you have certain priorities. So I think because I'm doing what I'm doing now, I can't really spend the time that I want to with certain people. But yeah.
Okay. Yourself, Miss Melo?
The hardest thing about dating me is insecurities sometimes.
But that's a valid one. Hey, that happens. Yeah.
That is the thing.
I think everybody has that, man.
Yeah,
I think so. All right, so Mel B, tell me. Mellow B.
Yeah, Mellow B.
If you had no choice, you had no boyfriend, you had to either kiss me or Les.
Would you choose?
This is a good one.
Come on.
Oh, Mudim.
For all my dignity.
Say it. I know.
Wow. What?
Goodbye.
Like putting you in the spot, right?
Yeah.
Can I just go back like 2 seconds before you say that?
Okay.
Craig, what's the worst thing about someone dating you? And I'll answer it as well. So we can give her some context.
Is that is that I'm full of myself completely. I'm complete obsessed. Literally, I'm obsessed with myself. Narcissism doesn't mean, you know.
Okay, on my side, I am a workaholic. It is a fundament. Like, you know when you send out emails and people send you emails back and they were like, calmed up, down. Yeah.
Toxic sender.
Alright, we're back to you, Melo.
Hi.
This is serious stuff right here.
I can hear.
Come on.
You have like a wall and everything in the studio.
Yo.
Disclaimer, just consider your career. This answer. Les is pretty plagued. I'm joking. Be honest, honey.
Like honest.
Yeah, honest. Go for it.
Ish, guys, not even offensive, Dina. Like, see, none of the above.
Please, the horn.
Okay.
We need the horn. Wow.
Option C, yeah.
Wow.
It's okay. I'm not even into ladies anyway, so it's chill.
Moving swiftly along.
I'm chilled. I'm good. Thanks.
I'm so sorry, guys. Anyway, thank you so much for coming through, guys. We really had a fantastic time. Hope you guys enjoyed it too.
Yeah.
It is a wrap. Any final words from you guys? Real quick. We have like literally 3 seconds. Final words.
Log into my page and check out.
Fantastic. Miss Mellow B.
At MellowB_Jones, Twitter, Instagram.
Yes, sell yourselves, guys. Go ahead, babes.
Work hard. Pursue your dreams.
Fantastic. My lovely Craig was sexy.
Craig was sexy. Always tells you, go to the gym, look sexy, and buy a Wrangler, fam. Buy a Wrangler.
Awesome.
From my side, I'm going to love and leave you. If you guys thought something was strange today about how we ran the show, it's pretty much because, I don't know, ever since Candace ran the last show, seems like she's going to run the next show as well. I don't know if I'm being phased out or management is trying to say something to me. I don't know if it's a cabinet reshuffle or what. But from us to you guys, it's all love. And we're going to play out with Shekinah because I think we're all suited for each other. Whether you're studying one thing or another, whether your two passions are different, find a way to make them align. CliffCentral.com.